Welcome to Mother Miriam Live on the Station of the Cross Catholic Radio Network with live video streaming brought to you by LifeSite News and the Station of the Cross. Call Mother with your questions at 1-877-511-5483 or email her at mother@thestationofthecross.com. You can view the live stream on Facebook at Mother Miriam Live. Now, here's Mother Miriam.
Hello, beloved. How are you? Good to be with you. I'll let you in on a little personal note. I'm sort of okay, but you know that I fell and cracked a rib and did a few other things a few weeks ago. And yesterday, I'm telling you all these personal things. I am one bruise today. I had a dream that a rocket was coming at me. I don't think it had anything to do with Israel. I could explain the lead up to that. It's very, very weird. But to get out of its way, it was aiming for me, and I was fast asleep. And to get out of its way, I bolted on the street where I was in this dream. And what actually happened is that I bolted out of bed, went over a chair, and landed on the floor, hit the edge of the chair and landed. I'm using a little chair as a night table for myself. Bolted out of bed, over the chair, and landed on the floor. I wish I had a video of that. I've never experienced anything like that before. I didn't fall out of bed. I bolted up over the chair and landed and hit the chair coming down. So I have black and blues and bruises all over half my body. It's just crazy, I tell you. But God protected me because I'm not worse. I think I have a tiny little bruise right there. I'm not sure. But everything is black and blue. It's crazy. So I don't know what it is, but I'm here with you today, which is why I wasn't on yesterday. I just had to recover and stand up. So I'm doing okay. I'm still healing. This old body is taking a long time. It can't afford too many more injuries. So I appreciate your prayers. Of course I do. And I love you. And we pray for one another. Excuse me. Two things to read you today. I was going to give you one last take on the latest Dignitas Infinita from the Vatican. Voice of the Family has done a perfect summary, as they always do, telling you what is not kosher and what is actually an error in it. And I wish to read that to you. I was going to do it today, but coupled with my dream, I read something today, and I wanted to read it to you. LifeSite News, I look at them first thing because that's how we get our news that is true and solidly Catholic. And the title says, Baltimore Archbishop says Latin Mass will be suppressed at all parishes. FSSP Mass will continue. Of course, that's the Fraternity of the Society of St. Peter will continue. Well, we bless God for that. I don't know how long that will continue. We attend an FSSP church here in Tyler. And the article goes on to say, Archbishop William Laurie, and I just grieve at this, he was one of our good, strong, Orthodox, faithful bishops one day, but it doesn't seem like that anymore. Archbishop William Laurie announced that a Vatican indult allowing parish Latin Masses will expire in August, and that the traditional Mass in his Archdiocese, Baltimore, will soon be relegated to a single shrine in Baltimore, and that's the one that has the FSSP Mass. Thank God for that. The article says that Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore has announced that a Vatican indult allowing a diocesan traditional Mass, abbreviated TLM, that's the traditional Latin Mass, in his archdiocese will expire in August, and that the sole Latin Mass there will be offered by the priestly fraternity of St. Peter. Catholic commentator Fred Simon posted to X, of course that used to be on Twitter, on Monday evening a copy of Archbishop Laurie's letter to his parishioners dated March 13th. We are now April 17th. Explaining that after Pope Francis issued the Latin Mass suppressing motu proprio Traditionis Custodis in July of 2021. The Archdiocese of Baltimore was granted an indult by the Vatican to allow a traditional Latin Mass to temporarily continue at St. Mary's Catholic Church in the northwestern part of the Archdiocese, the oldest in the United States. The purpose of the indult was to allow those who had become accustomed to Mass according to the Missal of 1962 to receive catechesis and formation so that they would come to welcome and embrace the Novus Ordo, the Archbishop wrote. I have no idea how that makes sense at all. They would receive catechesis. The purpose of the indult was to allow those who had become accustomed to Mass according to the Missal of 1962 to receive catechesis and formation so that they would come to welcome and embrace the Novus Ordo. How do you go backwards? How do you go from beauty to what is not beauty and what is often sacrilege? Quote, after much careful and prayerful consideration, I have discerned, Archbishop Laurie says, that for the pastoral good of all the faithful of the Archdiocese of Baltimore, the celebration of the liturgical rites and pastoral care, according to the Missal of 1962, within the Archdiocese of Baltimore, on or after August 1st, 2024, will be entrusted solely to the priestly fraternity of St. Peter at the National Shrine of St. Alphonse Liguori in Baltimore, he announced. The shrine is located in the city of Baltimore, about a 90-minute drive from St. Mary's in Hagerstown, Maryland, where Archbishop Laurie explained that the Latin Mass would cease after July 28th. Well, so you drive 90 minutes to Mass, right? Latin Masses have been continually offered there since 2012 after Pope Benedict XVI's Motu Proprio Summorum Pontificum, which clarified that the Latin Mass was never abolished and that no priest needs his bishop's permission to offer it. And Pope Benedict wrote, Pope Benedict XVI, quote, what earlier generations held as sacred remains sacred and great for us too, and it cannot be all of a sudden entirely forbidden or even considered harmful. End quote. Pope Francis's Traditionis Custodis attempted to undo this 2007 motu proprio, declaring that the Latin Mass is not to be offered in parochial churches, that priests ordained after Traditionis Custodis have to apply for permission to offer the Latin Mass, and that bishops may restrict the traditional Latin Mass. Liturgical scholar Dr. Peter Kwasniewski called Traditionis Custodis, quote, the exact antithesis of Summorum Pontificum, end quote, declaring at the time, quote, in the whole history of the Church, there has never been so dramatic a rejection of a pope's predecessor as came from Pope Francis to Pope Benedict XVI, end quote. Kwasniewski has written that priests must resist Traditionis Custodis and its accompanying responsa ad dubia, quote, regardless of threats or penalties, since obedience to these documents would undermine the very mission of the Holy Catholic Church. The traditional Catholic Church belongs, Dr. Kwasniewski continuing, the traditional Catholic Mass belongs to the most intimate part of the common good in the Church. Restricting it, pushing it into ghettos, and ultimately planning its demise can have no legitimacy. This law is not a law of the Church, because as St. Thomas Aquinas says, a law against the common good is no value law, quote, he said in a speech during the 2021 Catholic Identity Conference. The suppression of the Latin Mass at St. Mary's in Hagerstown is a particularly heavy blow to Latin Mass attendees in Maryland, because it is the only traditional Latin Mass that has been offered in the northwestern part of the state, now leaving a large swathe of the region deprived of the Latin Mass. one parishioner at St. Mary shared that on X, the nearest traditional Latin Mass would now be an hour's drive away. Its suppression will also hit hard for young Catholics attending the Collegium Sanctorum Angelorum, an authentically Catholic college near St. Mary's. The college highlights the availability of a nearby traditional Latin Mass as an important asset to the formation of its students. The continuing Latin Masses offered nearest to St. Mary's are in Charlestown, West Virginia, at the Priory of the Annunciation of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in Fairfield, Pennsylvania, at the Carmel of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. LifeSite News contacted Archbishop Laurie for comment, but has not received a response as of this publication. Oh my goodness, there's the break. I'm going to read you a news article when we come back from the break, and then a breathtaking small piece of writing. Don't go away, beloved. And at the second break, as always, we'll take your calls, your emails, with anything on your heart, toll-free, 1-877-511-5483, or email at mother@thestationofthecross.com. We'll be right back.
Station of the Cross Catholic Media Network presents Saints and Seasons. On April 17th, we celebrate the feast of St. Stephen Harding, abbot and confessor. Stephen was born to a noble family in Dorsetshire, England, in the mid-11th century. He studied at nearby Sherborne Abbey, then in Paris and Rome. After completing his education, Stephen returned to France and joined the new abbey of Molemme because of the holiness of St. Robert, the abbot and founder. The monastery had begun by strictly observing holy poverty, but the generosity of the local faithful eventually spoiled many of the monks. Attempts at reform failed, and with their archbishop's permission, Stephen, Robert, St. Alberic, and a few other fervent brothers left to begin the Order of Cistercians at Citeaux, near Dijon. After Robert returned to the repentant monks of Molemme, Stephen eventually succeeded Alberic as abbot of Citeaux. The monastery struggled to attract new members until the arrival of St. Bernard of Clairvaux and 30 companions, which ignited the growth of the Cistercians. Stephen died at Citeaux in the year of our Lord 1134. He is honored on March 28th in the modern calendar, and on January 26th by the Cistercians, with co-founders Robert and Alberic. Also honored on this day are Pope St. Anicetus, St. Robert of Chaise-Dieu, St. Donan of Egg, the birthday into heaven of St. Gaudery de Gaguita, and many other martyrs, confessors, and holy virgins. For more about the saints and seasons of the Catholic Church, visit thestationofthecross.com/saints-and-seasons.
What you're offering and giving to me, you deserve to get back because you're offering more than I can give.
I learned so much through the Station on the Cross. I listen to the radio station daily, and I absolutely love it.
I was attending the chapel and places like that, and through your programs, I was able to find out how other Protestants had come back into the Catholic Church. God bless the Station of the Cross.
Donate today at thestationofthecross.com.
Welcome to Mother Miriam Live on the Station of the Cross Catholic Radio Network, with live video streaming brought to you by LifeSite News and the Station of the Cross. Call Mother with your questions at 1-877-511-5483 or email her at mother@thestationofthecross.com.
Welcome back, beloved, to Mother Miriam Live. I just read the article from LifeSite News that speaks of Bishop Laurie shutting down the Latin Mass in the Diocese of Baltimore, other than that celebrated by the Fraternity of St. Peter. I'm looking at the LifeSite headlines today. French government threatens priests over Instagram call to fight homosexual temptations. This is a good, solid priest urging people to fight sin and fight homosexual temptations. And so he is threatened by the French government under arrest for such a statement that we need to fight homosexual temptations. Next headline from LifeSite: Archbishop of Toronto still silent on Catholic school trustees opposing pro-life flag. The next headline, this is an amazing one. Socialist Belgian mayor orders police to shut down event featuring Cardinal Mueller, Viktor Orban, president of Hungary, and Farage. I'm not sure if I'm saying his name, F-A-R-A-G-E. It's an amazing, amazing thing. The mayor shut down a peaceful political event with these high prelates of the church. Police were ordered to shut down a national conservative conference in Brussels under the pretext of guaranteeing public safety. The conference features many prominent guests such as Cardinal Gerhard Mueller, Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban, Brexit initiator Nigel Farage, former Polish Prime Minister Mateusz Morawiecki, and I know I'm missing up these names, former French President candidate Eric Zemmour, and previous UK Home Secretary Suella Braverman. Can you picture Brussels sending the police? There's a picture on X of all the guns pointing at them. It's absolutely insane. And beloved, where is the article I want to read to you? Hold on, I see it here. I was going to say, it's one thing for the government to arrest priests. We're becoming socialist, communist, fascist, all of that. It's one thing for the government to be unbelieving and shut down religious events, which is insane, but so it is it insane to not believe in God. To be sane is to understand reality. To be insane is to not know reality. To say there's no God is to be far from reality. It's one thing for the political governments to do such a thing. It's happened in the past and it's happening again. But for bishops and archbishops, and it's our own Holy Father who's shutting down the Catholic Church from within. You see, he's not shutting down the Catholic Church. He's shutting down the Latin Mass. It's comparable to shutting down the Catholic Church, beloved. That is the Mass of the ages. It is what our Lord gave us. It cannot be shut down. Although, I'm going to read you this possibility. I read it this morning with a blogger that I subscribe to, the Timmin, on St. Louis Catholic, and I would encourage you all to go to that. He's in St. Louis, and he's just a magnificent, well-thinking Catholic. And the title is, First They Came for the Catholics, Last They Came for the Catholics. And I'm, it again shows a bunch of men firing their guns. And this was also, hold on now, this was also put on X. My computer's not going there now. Let me just read this. Don't think I'm repeating myself. I am, but it's purposeful. It's called Then They Came for the Catholics. Next line. Then they came for the Catholics. Next line. Then they came for the Catholics. Next line. Then they came for the Catholics. 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 And then they came for the last Catholic, and the world ended, because the church will exist until Christ comes again. Here is something that follows that. which is breathtaking. Night came. White, W-H-I-T-E, White did not go to bed. He unpacked a box he had brought with him from the country. It held clothes, shoes, some tools. In the bottom of it, wrapped in an old coat, was a large case. He went over its contents carefully. There were some robes, a shiny cup, two small bottles, a book, a slab of stone, some miscellaneous small boxes and metal pieces. He went over each carefully. He filled one of the bottles with water. The other was already filled with a dark red liquid. Then he packed everything back carefully in the case and waited. The city was as still as if death had stolen in and possessed it. White sat patiently through the night hours. The sky had a strange pallor. He thought, and there was a strange weight to the silence of the city. He did not know whether it forbade good or evil. 2 hours before dawn, he took up his case and made his way to the street. The streets were deserted. Always they were deserted at this hour, as the slaves slept. But in the deserted dark of this night, there was an unaccountable expectancy. The great masses of metal towered blackly upward, massed themselves hugely upward, as if threatening the stars. White walked quickly, a solitary speck of emotion, along the floors of the caverns of the monstrous city. He reached the base of one giant structure that surpassed all others by 1,000 feet, a memorial tower to one of the first masters of the IGW. I can't figure what that means, IGW. He slipped into the only elevator and went hissing upward toward the roof, a half mile above the earth. He locked the elevator at the roof so that it could not be summoned. Then he set himself quickly to work. He changed his garments. In a few minutes, despite the dim starlight, he was done. On top of that black tower of the devil in the kingdom of the Antichrist, said Blue, after all those centuries of extermination, there stood a priest in amice and alb, maniple, chasuble, girdle, and stole, heir in a noble line of Christ's servants, clad in their symbols of chastity, charity, honor, and faith. The figure of Christ's cross lay on his back. The anointment of Christ was on his soul. Before him was his altar, his case topped with altar stone and missal and chalice. On it lay the corporal, with the wafer he had made from the wheat he had grown. By it stood the 2 cruets of water and wine. He waited until first there was a streak of light across the street. Then he bowed down before his altar. In nomine Patri et Filii et Spiritui Sancti. Amen. The Mass had begun. He was keeping his promise to bring God back to earth. Blue's voice was quivering. It was dark with night and fog. We still sat out on the roof. What time it was, I do not know. The last Christian, said Blue fervidly, was a priest. Can you see that heroic figure in the twilight of the world saying Mass in the citadel of the Antichrist? Can you hear the Christe eleison as he cries it to the breaking skies of dawn? Can you see the murmur of the credo as the winds carry it to the ends of the earth? Can you see him turning with shining face as he gives his Dominus vobiscum to the empty cathedral of the morning? It was magnificent, exclaimed Blue, as if he were telling of something he saw. And the while he is making the sign of the cross over the wafer of bread, the powers of the Antichrist are gathering. He has been seen. An early plane spied him as he bent over his altar in the first streaks of fight. The warning has awakened the city. Below grows a tumult of multitudes. The clangor of the alarms and the rumble of moving people rise to the top of the tower. But the priest does not hear. His soul is on his mass. The morbid slaves below awaken from their sluggish sleep, are electrified by cries of a priest, a priest. Millions who would not lift a hand to save a friend or give a sign of affection, these apathetic slaves of the Antichrist are transformed by this discovery of the mass. Stolid, stupid peoples, insensible even to pain, need as ever only the mention of the priest and the mass to drive them into unimaginable fury. The mobs surge about the base of the tower. There is no access to the upper levels save by the lone elevator. Their blasphemies rise in raucous uproar. Their frenzy would hurl over the structure itself if it could. The while the priest is reverently at his mass. Veni sanctificatur omnipotens, aeterne Deus, come, thou who makest holy, almighty and eternal God. He is beseeching the blessing of the Holy Ghost. The Mass goes on. The master of the IGW has summoned the marshal of his soldiers. Stop the Mass immediately, he commands. The marshal reports that planes are speeding to the tower. The top is too small for a landing. It's a difficult shot, he is explaining. The master is furious. Bomb the tower. Destroy it. Demolish it. But stop the Mass. Oh, dear beloved, I will continue this. We're just about the end after this break. How you can go away and not continue to hear this is beyond me. This is extraordinary. We'll be right back after the Mass. I'll finish this, the end of this piece, and then we'll take your calls and your emails, beloved. Toll free 1-877-511-5483 or email at mother@thestationofthecross.com. We'll be right back.
When you talk to people who are locked in sin and you can't convince them to leave their sin, it's because they don't have any fear of hell. They fear God, they don't want to offend him, but nobody talks about the fact that hell's real or that it endures forever. So you stand before the truth of God and you're illuminated completely in his truth. All you see is all the filthiness, the wretchedness, how vile you are, and how you hate him. You hate the one that you stand in front of. So what if he tries to give you a hug? You hate him. You won't accept it. What if he says, please come in? I hate you. I would never come in there. This is how horrible it is. This is what has to be meditated on. To die in a state of sin means that you hate God. Whether you feel like you hate God or you don't, it doesn't matter. Not having the grace of God means you hate him.
That's Sermons for Everyday Living from 6 to 7 a.m. Eastern on the Station of the Cross.
Are you looking for a simple, creative, and easy way to contribute to the Station of the Cross? Why not consider a transfer of stock or donating a mutual fund gift to help support us in our work of evangelization? Transferring a gift of long-term appreciated stocks, those owned for more than 1 year, can provide significant tax advantages by allowing you to deduct the fair market value while paying no capital gain tax. Today, most stock transfers are easily made electronically from your broker. Just call us at 1-877-888-6279. That's 1-877-888-6279. Your broker will need to indicate the number of shares being transferred and the CUSIP number of the shares. May God bless you for considering a gift to the Station of the Cross so that we can continue proclaiming the fullness of truth with clarity and charity for years to come.
Welcome to Mother Miriam Live on the Station of the Cross Catholic Radio Network with live video streaming brought to you by LifeSite News and the Station of the Cross. Call Mother with your questions at 1-877-511-5483 or email her at mother@thestationofthecross.com.
Welcome back, beloved, to Mother Miriam Live. I am in the middle or getting toward the end of a heart-stopping writing. Apparently the world has been taken over by the Antichrist and everyone is a slave in it. And there's a priest left who finds his way in the early morning darkness to the top of a huge, 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 huge tower and locks the elevator so nobody can summit it. And at the break of dawn, he undoes his case and sets up for the Mass. Let me just back up a little paragraph so we can pick up on this. Hold on. Blue, white is the Christian, and blue, I'm guessing here, is the police force of the Antichrist. And as he saw blue preparing to celebrate Mass, his voice was quivering. It was dark with night and fog. We still sat out on the roof. What time it was, I did not know. The last Christian, said Blue fervidly, was a priest. Can you see that heroic figure in the twilight of the world saying Mass in the citadel of the Antichrist? Can you hear the Christe Eleison as he cries it to the breaking skies of dawn? Can you catch the murmur of the Credo as the winds carry it to the ends of the earth? Can you see him turning with shining face as he gives his Dominus Vobiscum to the empty cathedral of the morning? It was magnificent, exclaimed Blue, as if he were telling of something he saw. And the while he is making the sign of the cross over the wafer of bread, the powers of the Antichrist are gathering. He has been seen. An early plane spied him as he bent over the priest bent over his altar. In the first streaks of fight, the warning has awakened the city. Below grows a tumult of multitudes. The clangor of the alarms and the rumble of moving people rise to the top of the tower, but the priest is not here. His soul is on his Mass. The morbid slaves below, awakening from their sluggish sleep, are electrified by cries of a priest. Millions who would not lift a hand to save a friend or give a sign of affection. These apathetic slaves of the Antichrist are transformed by this discovery of the Mass. Stolid, stupid peoples, insensible even to pain, need as ever only the mention of the priest and the Mass to drive them into unimaginable fury. The mobs surge about the base of the tower. There is no access to the upper levels, save by the lone elevator. Their blasphemies rise in raucous uproar. Their frenzy would hurl over the structure itself if it could. The while the priest is reverently at his Mass, Veni sanctificator omnipotens aeterne Deus, come thou who makest holy, almighty and eternal God. He's beseeching the blessing of the Holy Ghost. The Mass goes on. The master of the IGW has summoned the marshal of his soldiers. Stop the Mass immediately, he commands. The marshal reports that planes are speeding to the tower. The top is too small for a landing. It's a difficult shot, he's explaining. The master is furious. Bomb the tower. Destroy it. Demolish it. But stop the Mass. His face was black, said Blue. From his own tower, he could see the silhouetted figure bending over his small altar. He tears. He tears, T-E-A-R-S, his flesh in his rage. 2, 3, 4 planes are circling above the tower. One drops a huge shell. It misses and goes hurtling down to the street. It crashes in the heart of the insane mob, annihilating a black square of them, shattering the steel walls, shaking the structures for a mile around. Another bomb falls. Another misses. And again, there are slaughter and destruction below. But now the priest bows low over his altar. He begins, qui pridie quam pateritor. I know I'm messing up the Latin, beloved, I'm so sorry. He begins the words of the consecration, the words that shall change the bread and wine of his altar into the body and blood of Jesus Christ. He approaches Christ's own words at the Last Supper. One plane is now low over the roof of the tower, so low that the crew can make out the figure of the cross on the priest's chasuble. A bomb is made ready, and now the priest comes to the words that shall bring Christ to earth again. His head almost touches his altar. Hoc est anum corpus meum. Blue was whispering. I think he was shivering. The bomb did not drop. No, there was a moment of awful silence. Then a burst of light, besides which day itself is dusk. Then a trumpet peal, a single trumpet peal that shook the universe. Then the sun blew up like a bubble. The stars and planets vanished like sparks. The earth burst asunder, and through this unspeakably luminous new day, through the vault of the sky ribbed with lightning, came Christ as he had come after the resurrection. It was the end of the world. Blue's last words were just barely audible. The kingdom of the Antichrist disappeared like ashes in a whirlwind, and hastening up out of their tombs and resting places came the souls of the just, happy, hearty, wholesome, to greet their king. Blue paused. Then he added, Father White, who had been number 2,757,311, found himself a hero, even in heaven. This is an excerpt taken from Mr. Blue by Miles Connolly. Father White had been number 2,757,311, found himself a hero in heaven, even in heaven. Perhaps that's how many saints there were. Surely, I pray, beloved, there were more people in heaven than 2,700,000. Surely, I pray that. Priest, dear priest, you who are a human, common man, who are ordained an altar Christus, a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, would you betray your priesthood by any means? I beg you, with every sane Catholic in the world, repent of your sin, whatever it was. It is just for priests as it is with people. No sin greater than the mercy of God, but you must repent. Repent from your sexual sin. Repent from your sloth. Repent from your nonchalant attitude, your irreverence at the Mass. Repent from every minute you spend apart from saving souls, which is the only thing Christ came to earth to do and ordained you to do. And repent from ceasing the Latin Mass. Never cease the Mass. Celebrate it in your laundry room, underground, in your bedroom, in your living room. Dig a hole, go underground. Never let the Latin Mass cease, no matter what it takes. Never abandon it. And you who have, go go back to the Latin Mass. And you who don't know what it is, beg a Latin priest to teach it to you, and your life will be transformed. Okay, we will go to our questions. Again, you're welcome to call in with anything on your heart. Toll free, 1-877-511-5483, or email at mother@thestationofthecross.com. I beg the Holy Father to not destroy the church. I beg you to not destroy the church. We are not a social service system. We are not equal to other religions. God has not willed other religions. He has willed the Catholic Church, which is the full flowering of his people Israel, founded on the apostles and prophets, commissioned to go into all the world and teach the gospel to every creature that they might be saved. There is no other name under heaven but Jesus Christ, by which we must be saved. So Paul wrote, Luke wrote in Acts, there is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Holy Father, I don't know what your faith is. I have no idea, but I don't know how the enemy has so captured you that you can destroy the church, destroy Catholics, destroy the faith, destroy what is undestroyable scripture and tradition. You are leading the world astray, and you are leading Catholics astray, Holy Father. And we grieve. We are your children, and we absolutely grieve for you. We pray for your salvation every day, and we beg God and our Blessed Mother to change your heart, to be restored to Catholicism, true Catholicism, and to once again be the shepherd of your people, God's people on earth. You are not right now. You claim to be the shepherd of the world. Maybe you don't claim that, but you are the chaplain of the one world reset of all the evil that is out there now. And we beg God to change your heart. We want you as our Pope. We want a true successor of Peter. And we are sick at heart about your everything you're doing to destroy the church, and at such a pace. Homosexuality has been condemned throughout the entire Old Testament and New. And for you to okay the blessing of homosexual couples is an utter abomination. It's a disgrace. It is mortal sin before God, beloved. Dear, beloved Holy Father, the bishops of Africa have not come against fiducia supplicans because it's their culture. They've come against it because they're true Catholics. And our culture should be likewise a culture of holiness, a culture that believes in God, that believes in his word, and that is rightly shepherded by its Pope. Not a Pope who has become an Antichrist, but a true Pope. We're not against you, Holy Father. There are billions of us for you. But you are a Father right now who is in mortal sin by your own declaration, who has abandoned the sheep, who has stretched out to the world of the Antichrist. And we are powerless. We don't know what to do about it, Holy Father, except to pray for you, which we do. We don't think our prayers are unheard at all, but we beg God to change your heart. There is nothing we won't do for you, but we need you to return to Christ and to be a true successor of Peter. Beloved, there's our third break. We'll be right back after the break.
Hello,
beloved. This is Mother Miriam. How would you like to wake up each morning to inspiring sermons from knowledgeable and faith-filled priests? You can tune in to Sermons for Everyday Living every day at 6 a.m. Eastern on the Station of the Cross. You can listen on thestationofthecross.com or anytime on the free iCatholic Radio mobile app. God bless you.
The Catholic Current, bringing Christ to the world and the world to Christ.
What kind of resistance are you getting in the social media forum? Have you been accused of misinformation, hate speech, thought crimes of any kind?
Yes, all of the above. We have been listed on the Southern Poverty Law Center's list of hate groups, which, you know, these days, frankly, is a badge of honor. Any group that's doing work in this area that hasn't received that designation might want to ask if they're being affected.
Please join us in a prayer to our guardian angel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. O Holy Guardian Angel, take care of our soul and body. Enlighten our mind that we may know the Lord better and love Him with all our heart. Help us in our prayers so that we may not give in to distractions. Assist us with your advice so that we may see the good and carry it out with generosity. Defend us from the insidious snares of the enemy and sustain us in temptations that we may always be victorious. Remedy our coldness in our worship of the Lord. Cease not to protect us until you have brought us into paradise where we will praise our good God together for all eternity. Amen.
Welcome to Mother Miriam Live on the Station of the Cross Catholic Radio Network with live video streaming brought to you by LifeSite News and the Station of the Cross. Call Mother with your questions at 1-877-511-5483 or email her at mother@thestationofthecross.com.
Welcome back, beloved. This is our last segment. We have about 10 minutes. Still time for you to call in if you wish. Our lines are open. I'd be very happy to hear from you. And I'm going to take an email from someone who writes in anonymously and says, Dear Mother Miriam, I was watching Catholic content on YouTube and stumbled across videos from the Palmarian Church. I did some research into it and realized it is a heretical sect that split from Rome in 1978. I looked it up once, and I think that's correct. Without getting into the history of it, do you believe that the confusion surrounding church teachings after Vatican II contributed to the Palmarian heresy? Well, I don't know that, certainly don't know that for a fact, but it is an absolute possibility because of the tremendous confusion from Vatican II. This one writes, it is my understanding that the Palmarians believe that after the death of Pope Paul VI, the papacy moved from Rome to El Palmar, Spain. Do you believe that if the sentiments and teachings of Vatican II were clearer, this could have been avoided? That's an if question. I don't know that at all. I can't answer it. Tremendous problems with Vatican II and with Paul VI. It has spurned many, many things that I think God hasn't intended. You write, it seems that thousands have been led into grave heresy as a result of this sect. Well, I'm sorry for that. And she says, God bless you, Mother. I don't doubt it. It's absolutely regrettable. But millions have been led away from the true church, actually, and its true teachings, and the depth and practice of our Catholic faith, also as a result of Vatican II. So I don't say it's not valid, but what's resulted is, in many cases, is just a clown act. It's horrible. There are reverent Vatican II masses. There are reverent Novus Ordos. They are fewer than many. We have an email from someone who writes in anonymously and says, Mother Miriam, I believe you've stated in the past that you've considered writing a book. If you were to move forward with that, what would the book be about and why? What are the odds of such a thing actually happening? I would love to read it. Well, I would love to write it, dear Anonymous. My heart is totally for the family, and I have for years wanted to write a book on the family to help husbands and wives and children's and children formation, education, everything to do with the family. There are many, many, many good books on the family, and I've read a number of them, and I say, well, what can I add to this? What can I do? I could put it all together with simplicity and perhaps a learning and teaching process that would be maybe on a more simple level, but I haven't done that. You know, in the middle of that, we've moved to Winnsboro, and we moved before that to Beloit, Kansas, and before and after that to Winona, now at Winnsboro, and we need to do a lot of construction on our monastery. It's just taken up with so many things. And I haven't announced this, but I'll do it right now because it's set on my heart. We've been asked if we know good formation for seven-year-olds. And, of course, this is asked by parents who, for one reason or another, are not in a position to form their young children in the Catholic faith. So we have decided, as of this fall, we're going to have formation here at our monastery for the whole family, but it's going to be taught on the level of young children, which means everybody can get it. We don't have an exact date or time. It's going to be September. We have enough room here. We have enough chairs. And I'm just going to, we'll put together a big flyer somehow and just let everybody, we have a large room where we could hold it, and I'm just going to let everybody who come, who's in the area and who can. Again, it's going to be formation, Catholic faith formation, virtues, doctrine, everything for the whole family, but we'll be taught. So we'd love mothers and fathers to come, but we know that that's not always possible. And if mothers and fathers have to drop their children off to us and pick them up at the end, that's fine with us. If one or both parents can stay, that is great. If parents come and they're breastfeeding and they have tiny little children, they have to be able to distract, we'll have a separate room for you as well. So it'll be this September, and we'll announce it. It'll be announced in our next newsletter, and then locally in the area of Winnsboro and Tyler. We are 40 minutes north of Tyler proper and somewhat in the country, but it's not difficult to get to us at all. It happens to be a beautiful drive on basically two roads, and that will happen. So it doesn't matter where you live. Now, if you're not able to come locally, I don't know if it's something we can just duplicate online. Perhaps we could have a video teaching of it that can go out to everybody, because I know many people would like that. I've heard from people in California and all over and even overseas who would love that. So I've been thinking of teaching through the Catechism of Trent, but I think this might even be better. Because it'll be the whole faith for the whole family, and again, taught on the level that young children can understand it, which means parents will understand it if they haven't been catechized before, and at home can continue, if the lessons are once a week, the parents at home can continue to catechize the children just what they learn for that 1 hour and or two, and continue to impart the faith at home and to give the example of the faith at home, which is the most critical. You can't teach people, your children, the faith. You cannot make them Catholic by Sunday school alone if you don't live it at home. That's what our desire is. So if we can do that, dear one, that'll replace the book, because I don't know that I'll have enough time to do both. But, and there's so many good books on the family, truly wonderful books on the family, and I'll recommend some along the way of our course. So again, hoping to begin in September, just a few months from now, and it will teach the entire Catholic faith to the entire family, but the level of teaching will be to the smallest, at least 5 years old and up. And then the parents will be able to impart that as well to younger children they have. So thank you for that question. I wasn't planning on announcing this today, but your question led me to it. So it'll be developed in the next, we just decided this a week ago because of the requests we've had. And so I'm thrilled about it. Pray to God that I don't keep falling. This is crazy. that I get strong and healthy, and our sisters will be involved, and we're going to have several retreats over the summer. If you are anywhere from 18 and up, we're beginning now to take women in. We have four retreats planned, discernment retreats that are normally a week to 2 weeks in length. If you are 18 and up, give us a call or email us at vocationinquiry@motherofisraelshope.org. Go to our website, motherofisraelshope.org, and email us in any way. Tell me your age and you're looking into religious life and something about you, and I will send you immediately by return email or return mail, either way, an introduction vocation questionnaire that we have. And as soon as you get it back to me, we'll be in touch. We're going to have several discernment retreats over the summer. God bless all of you, dear ones, and we will, God willing, speak with you tomorrow. God bless you.